Welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment. He is Jamie. I am Charlie. Thank you very much for being a subscriber. We appreciate it. Jamie, you pulled this nugget off the PDGA website about some potential changes to the bylaws. Break it down. What is up for debate right now in terms of this change to the bylaws of the PDGA?
Yeah, so I'm going to read the bylaw as stated first, just so we're all on the same page, and then maybe we'll provide a little bit of context because it may, like, the way it's been done may seem more nefarious without that context, and then we could talk about the change. So, really quickly here, 3.3, I guess it's a rule, bylaw 3.3, it's the election and appointment of directors. The majority of the board of directors shall be elected by active members only, of course, meaning of the PDGA, in accordance with procedures established from time to time by the board of directors. They're in charge of their own elections. A minority of the board of directors may be appointed by the board of directors in order to fulfill the needs of the corporation, as determined by the board. Corporation referencing the PDGA itself here. Skip ahead a little bit here. No person shall be permitted to serve on the board of directors who at the same time is either an employee or a paid consultant with a signed contract of the corporation. So that is the law that has existed.
All right.
Basically, what we have in disc golf, because we're a very small community, we're a small worldwide family, we have people, we have former high-level players, we have people who have been on the business side of disc golf from when it was very, very small and insular, and people who have very, very close relationships with those people because, frankly, they probably all came up playing the same tournaments and all decided to dedicate their lives to the business and the growth side of things. We have people with those kind of connections on the board of directors, and as we've grown, it has caused some consternation and some concern that there is influence on the PDGA by different for-profit companies inside of the sport. Pretty fair way to say it. You know, that it's come up just from time to time. Now, the new bylaw changes that are being proposed, which it's important to talk about it today because it's open for public comment. You can go and submit your thoughts to the PDGA before they finish deliberating on this. Here's that part. Members with an ownership stake in a company or employees of a company that either one submits disc golf products to the PDGA for approval, such as discs or targets, or two uses PDGA support or funding outside of the standard sanctioning agreement are not eligible to serve or be appointed to serve on the PDGA board. So, TLDR, lobbying. This is an anti-lobbying statute for disc golf, Charlie.
Yep. So, here's some initial thoughts. You might be surprised. You might be thinking, "Wow, I can't believe they didn't already have this kind of rule in place." But I think it's important to note that, you know, in general, the disc golf community is pretty small, and the people who are really committed to the growth of disc golf and would be interested in doing something like serving on the PDGA board of directors, which is not a paid position, are going to be people who are already heavily involved. And that can include people at manufacturers. That can include people who are doing a lot of things with the PDGA, potentially getting support from their tournament, you know, helping run the majors, whatever. So you want to be able to draw from that group of really passionate people to have them on your board. And that makes a lot of sense. But I do think that we are at the point in the sport's growth path that you can't have people on the board who, you know, have a financial interest in a particular company within the industry. And of course, in the past, those people have had to recuse themselves from votes that would affect their company. And I'm not accusing anybody of wrongdoing, but it's the wrong message to send. You like, imagine if, I don't know, the USA Running, I don't even know if that's an actual organization, but like USA Marathons is they're responsible for, you know, figuring out all of the running rules and regulations and developing the youth side of things and being the governing body for the sport of running. And one of their board members is a, you know, the CFO of Nike. You'd be like, what? And obviously different boards have different rules on this kinds of things, but it doesn't sit right. It shouldn't sit right. And I don't think it's necessary anymore in order to have a competent board of passionate people. And you just don't need to have that industry influence there. Even if it's just small things, you don't want to have even the appearance of having a bias. And imagine being a manufacturer who wasn't represented on the board. Think about how that would make you feel when your organization lost a bid to be you know, the host of a tournament or to be the manufacturing partner for some event, and it goes to the company that has a board member. Even if they recuse themselves, you got to be feeling a little bit sick about that. So I think this is a clear, obvious move. I hope that they do it.
Yeah, it's just, it is obvious, and it's a sign of growth, frankly. I mean, I know it's sexy to look for, like, oh, does ESPN do a segment on us? Oh, does Adidas come into the game and help us out? Like, those are cool. Those are great. You know, like Bushnell coming into the game lately and doing social media challenges. Those are great, and those are very highly visible ways that you can see the sport growing. But this is the kind of stuff behind the scenes that is so incredibly fundamentally important, because where corruption could happen, where we could have our ship list sideways and never get up right again, is in these kind of adolescent years. We're starting to see great growth metrics. All of the people who have been believing in the sport for years are getting their vindication for believing in it. And, you know, and we're all hoping that, of course, we're all still hoping some more money keeps coming in and trickling in, and that turns into a flood, and, you know, we have a really, really healthy industry going. But people with nefarious intent are not going to wait until we're already a big industry and then try to hijack it. They're going to get in while the growth is happening so that you can change the laws or change the rules to benefit what you want to see. And, you know, if you want to make the philosophical argument, okay, we're all kind of doing that in a way. We all see opportunity, and we all would say, oh, well, if the rules were this way, then this opportunity could happen, and this is all the good stuff that could happen because of that. But the thing about it being a small sport is, up to this point, we could trust each other, because you're crazy to try to execute some like nefarious plan to take over disc golf 15 years ago. It would just be a waste of your time. It wasn't big enough. It wasn't ready. But this is a sign that we're getting closer to ready, and we're getting closer to that kind of bubble between us and the outside world, outside business world. It's starting to wear thinner. And so we're going to be more suspect and subject to some of that influence. And I think this is just like, this is just a quality of life move for the PDGA that's going to help the trust factor, which, if we're being honest, like we said before, like, trust in the PDGA's decisions has been hit or miss, I would say, in the 2010s overall. And I think, like, 2020 and forward, man, the PDGA's, like, they've made some real strong moves this year in 2020. I got to be honest. It's a good one.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the board could get bigger. I think the board, right, so right now the board is 7 people. President, VP, treasurer, secretary, and then 3 directors. And, you know, I'd like to see it get bigger. I'd like to see some appointments of people completely outside of the sport who are either in, you know, law or accounting or sports business, you know, external of disc golf, I think it'd be good, because right now you have a lot of people who are really involved in disc golf now. And that's super important. You need to keep that. You need to have board of director elections, and you need to let members vote people in, and they're probably going to vote for people from inside the sport. And that's great. But, you know, best practices for board of directors means that you have people who are completely external to the organization. And it's a fairly, seven is a fairly small board. You know, you look at what USA Ultimate has, their board is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 people. And they have a number of, you know, they have athletes on their board. They have people who are voted. So the elite athlete board members are voted on by the athletes themselves, by elite athletes. So people who are at the high end of the sport. That should happen at the PDGA too, right? I mean, there should be at least one current top level professional player on the board. And they should be voted in by the other top level players. And you could have it cut off however you want. 1,000 rated, or has attended an NT or a pro tour event and placed in the top X places or whatever. You can come up with criteria. But, you know, we talk about, like, oh, should there be a players union? Should there be more communication between the PDGA and the top players? Well, why not codify that into the board? And, you know, I only bring up USA Ultimate because I know it. And, you know, you can look to other sports as well for an example. But if, you know, if we're thinking about modernizing the PDGA board, I think you need to be thinking about, how do we bring in more diverse opinions? How do we bring in the viewpoint of the people who are both thinking about growing sort of the base of the sport, youth, recreational, and also taking care of the elite players. There's no reason that an elite player shouldn't be on the board.
Unless they're an employee of a company, according to the new language. So that actually kind of brings up an interesting thing.
But I don't think you're an employee if you just have a marketing agreement. But it's a fair point.
Because Prodigy's whole thing was to give their players ownership stake in the company back in 2012. Sure. So, very good point there, Charlie, and that we should segue into saying that, again, this is the public comment period. So if you have thoughts about this proposed change, the PDGA invites you to reach out, and it's pdga.com/contact. There's a link on the actual announcement, but it goes to the general contact page. So send them in some feedback, because I do think that, like you're saying, we could go down a few like semantic rabbit holes and things like that of, do you have a player because is a player an employee or a contractor? And then is it better to have a union and have a neutral representative of all players?
But even if you did, they wouldn't interface with the PDGA, most likely. They would interface with the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
Sure. And it should be noted that, like, I believe that they have players on some of their other committees. I'm fairly confident of that, but I'm not confident.
Well, and they have people who have played disc golf for a long time and are legends on their board now. Like, Elaine King is on the board. So it's not like player interests are being ignored. I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, I think it's probably important to have the viewpoint on the actual voting board that votes on major decision making, to have a viewpoint of a player who is currently actively on tour. And, you know,
definitely.
I don't know if Elaine King quite qualifies for that at this point.
It's definitely important to find a balance somewhere in, like you're saying, a variety of perspectives, a diversity of viewpoints, and a balance, because the one thing we know, it's 2020. They're building Disc Golf Island over in Europe. It's a global game. We have to have people that come from different areas of the country, different cultures, different ways of thinking represented in this game, so that we can continue to be the sport of the 21st century and beyond.
Yep. Well, you know, I know that this isn't the sexiest topic of all time, board governance, but it's important stuff. It's important stuff. And I think that this is a very common sense update to the rules that, you know, it's probably a little overdue at this point. So I hope that they push it forward. I mean, I can't imagine that there's going to be a lot of pushback for a bylaw change of this nature.
Yeah. Tip of the cap to the two board members who did recuse themselves from deliberating on this because it could affect them and they are up for re-election. So, yeah, David Foss, Nate Heinold, tip of the cap to you gentlemen for recognizing that position. And, yeah, interested to see what the subscribers think. Throw it in the Slack. Chat back with us. Let us know what changes would you make. And then also, you know, copy-paste that, send it to the PDJ as well.
All right, that's going to do it for today's Upshot Subscriber Bonus segment. Thanks so much for joining us. Hey, we're going to have some disc golf pretty soon. It's
my goodness.
Things are ramping up. So
you get to go back to work?
I know.
The other job?
I know. I mean, I feel like the show's been pretty fun, all things considered. I was worried that it was going to get real stale real quick, but there's been plenty to talk about. But I am looking forward to actually having some golf to watch again.
Yeah, while we're in the subscriber thing, shout out to you guys. We're glad you kind of caught our drift that we didn't want to just sit and do like nostalgia and rewatch. We wanted to like find new things to talk about. So appreciated all the conversations that have happened internally in the Slack and the emails that you guys have been sending. Charlie, before we leave off, what's like the one thing, now that you see the Pro Tour schedule, you see everything, mm-hmm. what's like the one thing you're most excited for right now, just initially? It could be a tournament or like anything. I know golf, we're all excited about golf coming back, but like what's the one thing you're like, ooh.
I guess the thing that, you know, that stands out to me the most is that I'm excited to see the Kales course.
It's got hype.
It's got some hype.
It's got I'm kind of with you there.
You know, I'm a little more nervous about like the fall tournaments in the Northeast. Just because you have the chance of second wave and it's been a bigger problem in the Northeast and there's more travel restrictions, but you know, just looking ahead to like what's feels like it could actually for sure be happening. Kales course. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. And I'm also kind of nervous about, we didn't talk to Jeff Spring about this, but Jonesboro rescheduled for October 1st through 3rd. That's awfully close to the USDGC. And so I think it's kind of a gamble there. That's like ending 5 days before it starts.
We'll talk more about the schedule and everything as we have a chance to break stuff down. And you know, next week we'll probably dive more into this topic. So stay tuned for that. For Jamie Thomas, I'm Charlie Eisenhood saying so long. We'll talk to you next week right here on the Upshot Subscriber Bonus segment.
Stay cool out there.